study. Tonight, next week, we will have our final study in being overcomers. Next week, we'll talk about the overcomer's reward, and we'll close this series down. And then the following week, on the 17th, we're going to prepare for Easter, and we're going to grill out hot dogs and stuff, but we're going to do whatever we need to do to help the children for Easter Sunday on that 17th. So if we have to put some things together or anything we need to do, we're going to, it's going to be serve the children night, because they're going to be preparing for Easter Sunday on the 17th, all right? Praise God. So our scripture reference is 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. We talked about victory over diet and the way that we eat, and victory over death. We talked about, what else did I talk about? Victory over defeat, victory over weakness. And last week we looked at victory over warfare. And tonight we're gonna talk about victory over battle, over battles, or victories in victory in battles, but we're just being overcomers. The scripture reference for tonight is Zechariah 4:6, and the main focus is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. In other words, if we do not allow him to fight the battles for us, most of the time we get defeated. We get beat up because his strength is made perfect in our weakness. That's why the Apostle Paul said, therefore, I'd rather glorify him in my weakness, glorify him even in my weakness, that his power may rest upon me. And I don't know about you, but I need his power and his strength. Amen. So as we're looking at this tonight in Zechariah chapter 4, the first thing we're going to talk about tonight, the scripture reference says, then he said, answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. The first thing we're going to look at is the battlefield of the mind. The battlefield of the mind. That's probably one of your largest battlefield areas, you know? It seems like a very small area, but it's a really large field. Amen? So as we're looking at this, we're going to look at the different ways to address this and to understand in the battlefield of the mind. First, as we're looking at this tonight, the carnal mind first, the carnal mind. We're going to look at the carnal mind. So if you look with me in Romans chapter 8, Romans 8, verse number 6, we'll begin to read there. He says, for to be carnally minded is death. Boy, that's pretty strong, isn't it? But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So, let's stop there for a second. In the battlefield of my mind, if I'm being troubled, if I'm being upset, am I walking in the natural, am I walking in the carnal, or am I operating in the spiritual? He makes it simple. He says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are of the in the flesh cannot please God. But the next verse says this, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be the spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. In other words, what the Father is saying here, just as simple as this, you're either carnal or spiritual. Amen? And the ones that you feed is what's going to win the battle. You know, we have to feed our spirit man, and we're feeding the spirit man on the Word of God. That's what the spirit man dines on. Not that God needs the word. God knows the word. But we need the word so we can stand on the word. Amen? The carnal mind, through the Spirit of God, becomes a changed mind. Amen? And as we look at the changed mind, he says in Romans 12:2, he says, for us not to be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. So if I'm walking in the carnal mind, I'm in a mess. But when I'm trusting in the spirit mind, when I change, my mind has been changed, amen, by the word of God. The word of God is what brings us peace, and no matter what storm and no matter what we face. And we can't get that in the carnal mind. We have to have it in the changed mind. So when we're looking at the battlefield of the mind, we have the carnal mind or the changed mind. Our changed mind is by the Spirit being led by the Spirit. The third thing I have here is the choice. In other words, the one that chooses is you and I. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the Word of God says this. He says, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. In other words, it's our choice. So what is he saying to you and I first? In the battlefield of the mind, amen, we're either going to walk carnally or we're going to allow the word of God and the spirit of God to change our minds, but it's our choice. When you think about it, just think about it a second and just reflect on it a moment. The mind of Christ. Now, if the Apostle Paul says you have the mind of Christ because the Spirit of God dwells in you, then when the storms of life comes, what did Jesus do to storms? He spoke to them. What did he speak to them? God's word. In other words, huh? What'd you say?
Shush.
Shush. Yeah, he spoke God's word and they shushed. Are you following me? Amen. Does that mean? But it's still called a battlefield. What takes place on a battlefield? A battle. And God wants us to understand, even for our mindset, it's a battle. Amen. It's a battle that we're to fight the good fight. We're lay hold of eternal life. Where we confess and profess a good witness. Confession before many witnesses. But what he's saying to us here is, hey, you know, he's given us everything that we need to be victorious. Amen? So when I was looking at this, first he said, you know, and this is true, rather it's individually or corporately. You know? And we're looking at the battlefield of the mind. When we have the mind of Christ, we reflect and we do the things. What would Jesus do? We used to carry those bracelets, WWJD, right? And what would Jesus do when we're being attacked in our mind? What would Jesus do if we're feeling stressed or overburdened? What example did he give us? What did he say for us to do? When he says, follow me and follow my example, as we're following his example, that's what we're doing. We're bringing into captivity every thought. You know, remember we talked about 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. Because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, we can't fight this battle in the flesh and the natural. But they're mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down every imagination that exalteth itself above the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. God wants us to understand that we're in a battle, but we have every weapon we need to fight this battle. Yes.
That's probably one of the reasons why we get wore out, is because we're doing things in our flesh.
Right. Yeah. His strength is good, isn't it?
It's made perfect in my weakness.
Amen. Yeah. Huh? We act like we're married or something? She's my bride, my baby, my newlywed, only 42 years. So first, as we're in the battlefield of mind, we have to recognize that, okay, we can't do it. We can't fight this battle of the mind carnally. Amen? We have to recognize that we have a changed mind, and it's our choice. Secondly, where the battlefield I want to speak about is in the body, the battle in your body. One of the things that the Lord was speaking to me earlier, I was ministering to someone today, and the Lord was speaking to this, that one of the things, one of the greatest causes of cancer in the world today is bitterness. It's bitterness. There's a root of bitterness. It's like a canker, and it grows. And sometimes there's things hidden, and people don't even realize what they're bitter over, but that thing is festered inside. Amen? But when he's talking about battlefield of the body, first I want to look at, we said individually and corporately, so just go down your page to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we'll go with verse number 1. We'll go right down below 16, which we just talked about. And the Apostle Paul says this, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men?" Amen? And in other words, we're talking about in the body of Christ. So he gives us instructions. One of the things he calls us to do is, again, the carnal body. It'll be easy to fill in tonight. The changed body. I don't have all my corny little fill-ins. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, the Apostle Paul says, gives us instructions how to allow the Spirit to take control of our natural body, our flesh body. He gives instructions to the church of Corinth of how he did it as an example. He said in verse 27, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection." Bring it into subjection of what? Subjection to God's word. Amen? I bring my body into subjection. In other words, I command those things to submit. He says, "I bring my body into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Amen? So he's telling us, not only with our carnal mind, there's change in the mind. It's a choice. But in our body, it's changed. The carnal body is changed by putting it under subjection of the word. Bring it under subjection. And again, that's our choice. We could go, God gives us freedom. We can go whatever route we desire. He gave us a simple way, but sometimes we think we know more than he does. Sometimes, yes. Were you going to say something? Right.
And thinking about how we were given authority, if it's an earthly thing, we were given authority over earth, I just have trouble trying to translate what do I actually do to apply this stuff.
Yeah. You bring it under, it's just like you're submitting it to the word. The word takes authority over whatever you're facing.
I know that here, but I actually just started telling it out loud.
Right.
Speaking to the body so it wouldn't
Right.
And looking at the fact that we were told back in Genesis to take a, they were given authority over the earth, and this is an earthen vessel.
Right. Right.
How to apply these things is what's
right. Well, one of the things you have the victory right there in the cross of Calvary, what was completed when Jesus said, so I'm pleading the cross, I'm pleading the finished work of Calvary. What did he say? See, the thing about it is if I'm going to bring that thing under captivity, I got to replace them thoughts. I've got to place something else in those thoughts. That thought life has to be changed, or that same thought will keep coming back. So,
I'm talking about the application to get this, these thoughts that are going to be, that you've believed all your life.
Right.
Whoever told you that you could speak to your body? Nobody ever told me before that.
Right. Right.
But to actually change a lifetime of beliefs.
Right. Well, that's what a lot of times that's what our biggest battlefield, especially in the body of Christ right now, is religiosity, which we did things traditionally, but the word, we never put the word to work.
Right. How to work this, how
right.
to apply this
right.
is the problem.
Right.
I can get the idea.
Right.
But
well, if I'm taking that thing, he gives us in Philippians 4:8, he tells us to replace the thoughts. Well, things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, report. Think on these things. In other words, if I believe God in his word and believe by his stripes I'm healed, and I'm taking authority over that, and I constantly have to bring my body under subjection all the time, too, you know. Right.
I have to know him better to know that authority or to trust that name.
Right.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
It's a struggle.
Right. Well, you know, one of the things the Apostle Paul is saying in this text in 1 Corinthians 9:27, he is saying, practice what you preach.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. So in other words, we start putting it to practice. And practice makes perfect. So it didn't become perfect. Christ is perfect, but we're not perfect. But we practice to perfect, okay? So we constantly practice until we get it. All right?
Yeah, how to practice it. That's
how to practice
apply
it.
That this
That's right.
is what I'm dealing with.
Right.
What I go home and do I really get it.
Right.
It's a lifelong journey.
Yeah.
I don't have a lifelong journey. I got to get this stuff now. I ain't going to be a lame. I need it now.
Right. Then one of the things that you do, and not to say this in a bad way, but one of the things you do is you don't make statements like you just made that I'm not going to be around. See, you just spoke a word of life, but you spoke a word of death right after it. You know?
What I'm
Amen?
Is,
so, yeah.
I know when, if I don't change it, exactly what the devil's trying to do.
Right. 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 Well, like he says to us, he says, no weapon formed against us prosper. He didn't say they wouldn't be formed, you know. And he says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. So when I look at these things, I say, I'm just going to keep practicing what I'm preaching. I'm going to keep speaking life.
Speaking is the big part.
Right. Well, if faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, as you're speaking the word, you got to believe what you're speaking. Because if you don't believe what you're speaking, you're just speaking to there. Right? And the Bible says, he said in his word, he says, without faith it is impossible to please God, for they that come to him must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. So as you look at this, hey, it's practice. Carnal means flesh. We're operating in the flesh, carnally minded. Amen? right? So the third is we have the choice. Philippians chapter 3. Does anybody else have anything else they want to add to that? Anybody? Philippians 3:21 says, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. So when I'm taking authority, I'm taking authority in the name of Jesus. I'm subduing it in the name of Jesus. And the word of God tells me that every name named in heaven and earth must bow to the name of Jesus. So I'm declaring Jesus. Amen. I probably use the name of Jesus so much every day. I mean, I probably speak his name 1,000 times a day. Right? That's right. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. When I can't think of anything else to say, I say Jesus. You know? Just keep on speaking it. Amen? You know, see, so we have the carnal body. You know, we have the changed body. Our changed body is by conforming our body to the word of God. But again, it becomes our choice. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. We have the choice. Are we going to speak to the problem or are we going to speak to the result? You know? The Bible says this also. You know, sometimes we use this in different ways. The Bible says without vision, the people perish. In other words, or they die. In other words, you have to see yourself healed. You have to see yourself delivered. And then you walk into what you see. Amen? Catch a vision for health. Catch a vision for well-being. Catch a vision for peace. Catch a vision for joy. Amen? By the word of God. Right.
Like
right.
And when Jesus accepted, you know, as he is our Savior, we know that he does these things. We know that he heals us. But the way that I think that I see it, and it was explained to me, I say, you know, I know that God does this, but will he do it for me? And yes, he will. But the next minute you think, well, I don't know if I'm going to get this healing. But you have to confess it day after day, minute after minute, and not, you know, not go and say, you know, I'm not going to say I'm not healed because God's word says I'm healed, and you confess
right.
it.
Right.
Like she said, you say life and death, or
right.
When you speak it out, and when she says those things, or we say those things, we're bringing things in, you know, to bring destruction to us.
Right.
We are supposed to say things in life to just like the healing part, you know. Lord, I need your healing. I don't feel like I'm healed. I don't know if you're going to heal me. I know you can do it.
Right.
But you confess it over
That's right.
and over and over.
Right. It's just like what the Apostle Paul said. He said even in our salvation, he says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. Now, if you believe, truly believe, that God raised Jesus from the dead, what is that little thing that's attached to your body compared to resurrection from death? Hello? Do you hear what I'm saying? If you truly believe that Jesus was risen from the dead, was resurrected, that dead came back to life, what is that little sickness or disease or that thing that's plucking on you, whether it's your heart, your mind, your throat, your back, your leg? It's just a small thing. In other words, the adversary wants you to magnify it and make it bigger than the God you serve. Amen? I don't know. If you and I, if God wants us to have a revelation and understanding that we serve a great big God. Amen?
I don't know how to line my words up with
But you have a, but you also have a phone right there. And in that phone right there, you, if you don't have a Bible app, shame on you, and you have a Bible app there, and you can take that Bible app, and you can go to any scripture and play it, and it'll speak it to for you, all right? So that word is being spoken into your ears.
No, I don't know how to deal with people that do not understand what I'm trying, what I need to do, and how they need to help me if I can't tell them what the problem is.
Right.
I have to say, read that to me.
Right. Amen. I'm not going to deal with that right now. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we're looking at, we have the carnal, the battlefield of the mind, battlefield of the body, and there's a battle in the spirit. Now, if we're operating in the flesh, that's all the things that we're talking about. We have to operate in the spirit of God, our carnal spirit, and all of us have a carnal spirit in us, okay? Everybody has a spirit of man. We have the spirit of God that took residence in us, but we have the spirit of man also. And the man, the spirit of man and the spirit of God is also at battle with one another. Amen? My spirit and my man wants to do things the spirit of God doesn't want me to do. So there's a battlefield there. And he says, for what man, verse 11, for what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And the key to this, and no matter what we're battling and whatever we're facing, we've got to allow the Spirit of God to lead us. We're looking for answers from everyone else, but not looking for the answers from the one inside of us. The Spirit of God resides in you, and he says that he will guide us and direct us. God wants us to understand that not only did we have a carnal spirit, but our spirit man has been changed also. He says in the Word in Romans chapter 8, verse number 11, he says, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the spirit that dwelleth in you. Quicken comes from the Greek word zoupoio. It means to make alive. Amen? There's a battlefield between the spirit of man and the spirit of God inside of us. We can either be carnally led by the carnal spirit or the natural spirit or the spirit of man, or we can recognize that we've been changed and the spirit of of God now resides in us, and we allow him to guide us and direct us. Amen. So he says also here, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, it's a choice. In verse 17, the word of God says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. There's freedom. Inwardly, outwardly, internally, externally. Amen. And he says in verse 18, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So again, we have the carnal spirit, we have the Holy Spirit, but it's our choice which one we allow to lead us. Amen? Which one we allow to guide us. Which one we're taking the report from. So he says to us in Deuteronomy chapter 30, that off. Verse 19. He says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. It's our choice. That both thou and thy seed may live. Let me say this to you. This is probably one of the hardest things to teach the body of Christ, because we're dealing with fleshy things all the time. We're dealing with afflictions all the time. We're dealing with battles all the time. But God wants you to recognize that we can do all things through Christ that gives us strength. Amen? That we can overcome every weapon the enemy forms against us. Amen? It's all right here. It starts with not having a carnal mind. Recognize we have a changed mind. We have to think differently. If my mind has changed concerning something, what happens? My thoughts have to change. My body, in other words, there's something that has to change. Here's what the problem is. We try to dictate how God's going to do something. We cannot dictate how God's going to do something. We've got to trust God in his word. We got to trust the Spirit of God. And then we walk in the Spirit, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. What did he say? The lust of the flesh is when lust is conceived, it becomes sin. And when sin is finished, it becomes death. Amen? So there's a battle in the body, there's a battle in the mind, but the Lord also wants you to understand that you have two spirits in you. You have the spirit of man, and you have the spirit of God, and they're in battle with one another too. Amen? The Bible says, Jesus said, my sheep shall hear my voice. The key is the key in the voice and know the voice of the Lord. The devil tries to disguise it. He tries to sound almost like the Lord, but he's a liar and the father of all lies. Amen? Amen. That's right. A lot of times what you have is, you know, we've got Hawk Security here in this church. We got Eagle Security through the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We constantly have to protect our mind, our body, our soul, and our spirit. It's not. It's just not something that's coming. It's a battle. God wants you to know it's a battle. And yet, no one is saying here tonight that you're not facing a battle in an area in your life. God is not saying that in any way. He said, you're going to go through battle, but I'm giving you the victory. I am here to help you through everything. Just trust in me. Can we all just stand? Can we lift our hands to heaven? Father, I'm so grateful for everyone that's gathered here tonight. Father, you see what each and every one of us is about.